The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on Voice of Vids. That's Vow FM 88.1. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Gavaza and I will be your host until about 7 p.m. The show is called The Business Buzz and we are here to unpack the world of business, economics and commerce for you in a way that you can love and understand, and we can teach you how the world is affecting you and your pocket. So, who's to say that business can't be entertaining? Make sure you hold on to your seats because we're definitely going to be showing you, you know, how the world of money, you know, is both exciting, informative, and, you know, as I said, exciting again. But otherwise, for today's show, we are going to be getting into our brand new heavy. For those that have been listening for some time, they'll know that our brand new heavy is that time of the month, every last Thursday, where we take time to celebrate a person in South Africa who is doing the things in their field of endeavor, in their business, in their hustle, in their industry. And for today, we have DJ Ken Zero, who is in studio with us, and he's going to be sharing his insights in how he conducts himself as a DJ. He's been in the industry for a number of years, and how he has conducted himself as a businessman, because he actually owns a number of business entities in and around South Africa, together with The Artivist, which is a hangout spot that recently opened here in Bromfontein, for those that have been there. So that's how our show is going to be looking. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be having our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. That's straight after the break. And then after that, we'll get into our Buffalo Index. That's when we tell you the state of your 100 Rand with Hlengiwe. You can keep in touch with us. We are on social media. The conversation doesn't just have to stop in studio. On Facebook, we are Vow FM, that's Voice of Vids, and you can also find our Facebook page, that's the Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we are at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. 0840784912, that's our WhatsApp line, and you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember as well that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on journalism.co.za/business, and remember that you can also search for us on iTunes and you can see our podcasts there. So make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 7 p.m. and that's how the show is going to be looking. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's the part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line to unpack this for us, we have Ken Swettenham, who is our financial expert. How are you, Ken?
I'm very well this evening, and yourself?
Huh? I'm fine, thank you. So this week, what's actually going on? I understand that there's a summit going on that's focused around economies. What's going on with this?
Well, it's a BRICS summit, and for those of your listeners who may not know what BRICS is, it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and of course the S for South Africa. There are five in what they call emerging market countries, and this summit happens once a year. It's done on a rotational basis, and it's South Africa's turn to host it this year at the Sandton Convention Center. If anybody's been into Sandton and they haven't been able to get near the convention center, that is why, in fact. But they discuss intellectual trade agreements. There's a lot, of course, backroom discussions, if I can call it that. It gives the leaders of each country, not only the political leaders, but the business leaders of these countries, to chat. And very good for the economy, or we hope it's very good for the economy, because it allows trade to flow between these five countries in particular and other emerging market countries that have, in fact, been invited as well.
So in terms of the discussions that are probably going to be had in the next couple of days, what are some of the issues that are likely to be on top of the agenda, especially in the public forums that will be there?
Well, I have no doubt there'll be bilateral trade agreements signed. This is where some sort of trade is agreed between the countries. And South Africa in particular is extremely important. Our economy has now been stagnant for several years, where we're barely growing above 1% a year. and we need trade not only with our traditional allies, which of course the United States and Britain, but we need trade throughout the world with all countries. And of course we're looking for foreign investment, and one thing I do have to say about President Ramaphosa is that he has been very good recently at sort of selling South Africa. The Chinese president has committed to large Chinese investment in South Africa running into many billions of rands, which I think is an excellent idea, although some cynics I've read have said that it's China trying to take over South Africa. I don't believe that's the case at all. And, of course, our president has recently been in the Middle East, also touting for new investment, and has had pledges of a lot of new investment from the Middle East as well. This can only be good news for our country if this money does come in, as it will create jobs and hopefully give the nudge our economy needs to get moving.
I think something that our listeners might be interested to know, Ken, is about the commitments that you've just brought up here. We're talking about China's commitment. I can't remember the exact figures, but I think it was around $14 billion or something like that. And some people might then be asking themselves, what's the difference between actual money being transferred on the ground versus some of the memorandums of understanding that President Ramaphosa has actually been reporting that he has signed. Are these things firm, or is it just saying that, okay, we want to commit something to South Africa?
Well, we would like to think that they're firm agreements, wouldn't we? That's a positive way of thinking of it. They're basically pledges. It's not China. It's not the Chinese president pulling out his checkbook and writing out the check and handing it over to President Ramaphosa there and then. It's pledges of investment in the country. And we hope that they will keep to their word, and the pledges will actually turn into real money coming into the country. The Chinese are very big on building things. We've seen it in our neighboring states, particularly Mozambique. The Chinese have invested large amounts of money in the development of Mozambique. And if anybody has been to Maputo in the last couple of years, they would see Chinese building right along the Maputo coastline. And that's the sort of thing we want to see here. We've had very little infrastructure development outside the major centers in South Africa. And this country really needs a lot of money pumped into it to create jobs, to create infrastructure. And if the Chinese are prepared to do that and they come up with the actual cash, then I believe it can only be good. But at the moment, it's just pledges. And we do certainly hope that turns into real money over time. Huh?
Ken, one of the other developments that has actually come up through this BRICS summit is that a number of interest groups have actually formed protests outside or in and around Sandton to give grievance or highlight some of their problem areas. Is something like the BRICS summit the type of platform that's actually going to get people's issues and concerns heard actually on the ground, or are the closed sessions going to be more productive in terms of issues actually being discussed?
Oh, I have no doubt about it, but the closed sessions will be far more productive. We seem to have an issue, and this is strictly a personal view, of course, that human beings are always going to be somebody who disagrees with you. Always. And no matter what you say, if you say it's black, somebody will say it's white. If you say it's up, somebody will say it's down. And all we've got is a relatively small group who disagree with some of the things that the BRICS delegates are discussing. And it's a good forum to make themselves heard. It's over the media. They've been on television. And they make themselves heard. Whether it will influence the policymakers in the conference itself, I severely doubt it. I can't imagine for what minute. But they're making their voices heard, and that's really what they want. And if you think of a place like the British Parliament, there's always protesters protesting outside the British Parliament, simply because they know they're getting a viewing, but they're not necessarily going to change anything by doing that. So my personal view is it's not something to be taken overly seriously.
Perhaps lastly, what else is going on in the greater economy? Because outside of the BRICS summit that's going on, the Rand is still trading. The JSE has been opening the whole of this week. How are markets looking together with the Rand?
Well, to be honest with you, I actually have not seen the closing figures today. But when I did look at around 4:30, we were having a very good day on the markets. the market was up, the Joburg All Share Index was up just over 1%. And of course, our rand has strengthened and strengthened fairly substantially in the last couple of days. The Chinese president telling us he's going to invest money in South Africa has made the rand a very happy currency. And we are certainly looking a lot stronger than we were a couple of weeks ago when we were very, very close to 14 to the dollar. When I last looked a couple of hours ago, it was trading at 13.18 to the dollar. So it's a substantial strengthening. And let's hope that, as I said just now, that the pledges turn into real money, because that will be good for our currency with this sort of money coming into the country.
So that was us on the line. We're talking to Ken Swetanam, who is our financial expert, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big story at the moment in terms of the economy is the BRICS summit that's actually going on in Sandton at the moment. A number of 5 world leaders have come to South Africa, being hosted by President Cyril Ramaphosa, going to be discussing the future of emerging economies and how they can actually take their different economies and countries forward. We hope that a lot of the agreements do end up materializing on the ground. As you heard from what Ken was saying, some of the memorandums of understanding, it's an agreement, it's a pledge, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that money is going to be transferred at that moment, and that a lot of these things will take time to actually happen on the ground. So that's it in terms of the business wrap. On the other side of this, we get into the state of your 100 rand. Keep it locked. This is Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
If you have 100 rand in your pocket, Lengue is here to tell you what you can actually do with this 100 rand of yours. We call it a buffalo. So right now it's time for us to get into our buffalo index with Lengue Zondo. How are you, Lengue?
I'm good, thank you, Madiwa. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing all right. So we have a DJ in studio today.
Yes.
Are we talking about that?
So our focus is definitely going to be around that. We're going to be focusing, it's going to be a beginner's guide to DJ equipment. So if you're looking to be the next Black Coffee, we just try to help you set up.
Okay, cool.
So as we know that 100 Rand is equivalent to one buffalo. Here at the Business Buzz. So here is what would be a great start for somebody looking to go into that space.
Yeah.
So you would need the following. 2 DJ turntables, which is really a circular revolving plate that supports the record where the record is played.
Yeah.
We're taking it like beginner level.
I realize that.
So, and that would cost our listener 10 to 112 buffaloes.
Yeah.
And then they would need 2 DJ cartridges, and you would need the cartridges, basically, it's like a device that holds the needle. It's also known as the stylus, and it transforms the mechanical vibrations into electric.
You're really schooling us today, aren't you?
We're going to school. That's what it's all about. And the mechanical vibrations into electric signals, and that would cost, I listen, 3 to 39 buffaloes.
Okay.
And then we have a DJ mixer, which is used to make smooth transitions between the different sound recordings as they are playing, and it would cost 22 to 238 buffaloes.
Okay.
And then we have slip mats, and these mats go between the record and the turntable platter, and this would cost 1.6 to 1.8 buffaloes. And then we have DJ headphones. So these are not like your ordinary headphones, because you want to focus on quality, and you look at things like isolation, so how well it isolates the, you know, external sounds outside of the headphones. You know, the comfort, as well as the fact that it needs to be robust for durability. And you would be looking at 13 to 52 buffaloes in terms of an investment there. And then you have vinyl records. And then these are like the old school flat discs, which have an inscribed and modulated spiral groove. And this groove really just starts from near the periphery and ends near the center of the disc. And this would cost 1 to 5 buffaloes per disc.
Yeah.
And then you have an RCA cable, and this connects the mixer to your audio output.
Yeah.
And this would cost our listener 1.2 buffaloes. So, yeah, this is really just our beginner's guide to our future Black Coffee.
Or in our case, our future DJ Ken Zeros.
Yes.
I have to ask, do you have any of this stuff?
I have headphones.
Yeah.
They definitely did not cost 13 buffaloes, but that's because I'm not in the DJing space.
Yeah.
They probably cost half there, of that, and it still felt just as painful.
And when was the last time you listened to a vinyl?
Wow. I cannot even recall. It's been that long. I don't listen to it often. But I'm pretty sure there's a reason why it's managed to stay throughout so many different generations.
I think out of everything that's on the list, yes, I have headphones.
Yes.
Cool. I have RCA cables.
Turntable.
No.
You're almost there.
That perhaps that needs to be the next investment.
A DJ in the making.
But the vinyls, I'm very interested in collecting vinyls.
Yeah.
I think the sound quality from vinyls is just different, like the sonics. Yeah, our technical producer is like, he's saying no, but it's good sound.
But it's also a nice conversation starter, like
yes.
a nice collection there.
Yeah.
Reminds me a bit of the Suits. Have you seen the Suits series?
No.
Okay, well, for those that watch Suits, they would know. Harvey
yeah.
collects different vinyl records, and it's a very special collection. It's a conversation starter of note.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, on the other side of this, we are going to be talking to our brand new heavy, that's DJ Kenzero, and he's actually an avid vinyl collector, and he's going to be telling us how many vinyls he actually has in his collection, because he has a room that's just got vinyl. So it's going to be an interesting one. So that was our Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into our main interview with DJ Kenzero. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is The Business Buzz right here on VOW FM 88.1. We are discussing the issue of entrepreneurship. We're looking at industry success. We're looking at longevity. We're looking at careers, because it is our brand new heavy for the month of July 2018. And this month we are honored and we are privileged to have DJ Kenzero in the building with us. If you've ever been to any of his events, heard one of his mixes, let us know on social media. You can find us on Facebook. We are VOW FM, that's the Voice of Vits on Facebook, and then on Twitter we're at VOW FM, and then our hashtag is #businessbuzz. So as I said, we have the man in studio, DJ Kenzero. You know, for those of you around the Bromfontein area, you might have come across, he's recently established the Artivist, which is an eatery cum gallery, as I said, right here in Bromfontein. DJ Kenzero also co-owns a business which has created a software system that helps businesses to manage some of their core functions. He hosts a music show every Saturday on Kai FM, and he has an events-based business called M&M, which hosts events such as Obrigado, What's Wrong with Grooving, and works with the established band called The Rebirth of Cool. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, he DJs about twice a week, because he's very selective about the events that he chooses to attend. DJ Kenzero, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. So for us to just begin this, I know that a lot of people know that you've been in the industry, you know, for a while. From the research I've done, I think you started around 1999. What actually got you into the actual music business itself?
I think it was informed by my love of music, entertainment as such, and I wanted to basically be a producer. You know, I started accounting at one of the universities in Joburg,
yeah.
And until the music bug really got me, and then I had to kind of think around how is this just a thing where I'm going to be a musician or someone in the entertainment, or can I businessify this thing
yeah.
as such? So I think it was informed by how am I going to make money? What does that mean in the long term? Will I be paying tax? Can I afford medical aid? How can I systemize that part of my sort of like career
yeah.
in terms of music into a viable
like a business entity?
Career that, in a way, inevitably, you have to entertain business matters for you to kind of carry through the idea of paying tax, medical, you know what I mean? And then start hiring people.
All of
that. So, yeah. Okay. That's kind of like how I started.
And I think that helps, you know, to sort of segue into the next question which I had, because I hear that, you know, you have this, you've had the philosophy for a while that if people aren't booking you for gigs, you sort of book yourself, make your own gigs.
Yeah.
So was that a mentality you had from the get-go, or was it sort of as a result of you getting into the industry and realizing that bookings aren't easy to come about, so why not, you know, cut out the middleman and just create, you know, properties of my own,
myself? More than cutting the middleman was, how can I put bread without waiting for someone to call me, without waiting for the phone call?
Yeah.
So, you know, the logic of, oh, okay, so you're on a DJ, and at home they're like, okay, so how does this work? And I was like, hey, well, you get booked for gigs. They're like, oh, okay, cool. So you get booked for gigs? Oh, what if you don't get booked for gigs? You know, especially when you start off, it's quite hard to get gigs. So for you to get notoriety is quite hard. So what you do then is, well, how can I book myself so that I know I'm busy, so I know my income stream? And even if it's just not income stream, therefore the losses and the gains of doing your own event. You know, because a lot of the younger guys can be out here like entitled to, like, why aren't you booking me? It's like, I'm not obliged to book anyone. That's not how it works, you know. So yeah, I think from then I decided it was from the beginning. It wasn't an afterthought. It was a before you jump into it. The very first gig I played at properly, I organized with friends. So already that was the beginning, and I realized I need to make that a policy, because of the type of DJ and music I wanted to play. So I didn't think all the bookings will come left, right, and center, because I'm quite left field when it comes to what I play musically.
Yeah.
So I had to build that. And inevitably, that had me build an audience and some sort of sub-genre of sorts and, you know, following. So, it had its own sort of, like, results that I didn't even think of. But, you know, while doing it, you're like, hey, wait, there's a bit of a cult nyana happening here. You know? And then you create, you know, crowdsourcing and all that stuff. So you kind of have you can also speak to your audience directly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of DJs that, if you were to pull a lot of DJs and musicians and said to them, can you bring 100 people in this room, and how? Some of them wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's also quite a good question, because as a DJ was beginning, and also you're talking about establishing that brand, establishing that cult following, how were you able to actually get people to come to the events? Because, you know, it's one thing to say I'm going to throw an event for myself, but if no one comes, and the nature of events, there's a lot of moving parts. You've got, I guess, promoters, you've got other acts that you have
marketing.
To bring. Yeah, and it was before, and you started before the age of social media, so I'm sure word of mouth was big.
And flyers.
Yeah.
You used to, whoever was on your phone, even the phones back then couldn't do a one button send to all.
I can imagine the airtime.
Each and every person that's on your phone, God forbid that you don't send to someone's grandmother because it's just a number on your phone, you know. So things like that, yeah.
So what has been your approach in actually establishing this event? What makes for, what's the, I can't say the formula because these things don't really have a formula, but for you, what are some of the ingredients that you bring to the table to actually make an event a success, which then ensures that you actually put some money in your pocket?
What happened is, before I started DJing and being in the music industry, I used to attend parties myself.
Yeah.
So I was quite acquainted with a lot of the guys who were doing parties. My face was familiar. So when we started doing our own parties back then, people knew who we were already. They kind of like, oh, okay, it's your party. Okay, let's come check it out. So you build a network by being in the scene, because I was part of the scene prior to me being a DJ or getting involved in music, and learning from some these events I'm attending and how they're inviting people, how they're crowdsourcing. And while we were at Varsity, a group of my friends worked at it was BMG then, not Sony BMG, and they used to do marketing for albums that were dropping. So those kind of things had you learn how to market.
I think the other thing that some of our listeners might then be asking themselves is, how did you get the family support? You know, because you know, traditional, you know, black families, all of that stuff, they want you to doctor, lawyer, accountant, tertiary, or And you said that you quit accounting.
So I don't know. It's very weird that at home they were like, okay, we've held your hand till this far. Are you sure you want to drop out? It was more of a disappointment. And I was told, okay, cool, so you've got other siblings, so we gotta focus on them next. Do you realize when we let go, we mean we're gonna let go? I was like, yeah, let go. You know, I didn't know how hard it was going to be, because then that stipend, the pocket money's not coming, and I was like, okay, this is now harder than I thought. Because they're like, you know, we held your hand till that far.
Yeah.
Prove us wrong in what you're trying to do. There was no hold back, especially for my mom. She was like, okay, cool, if that's what you want to do, as long as you can be successful in it, that's cool. And that's weird back then, because parents were very strict about their children finishing school. Granted that I was also maybe going to be the first in our household to be a qualified anything, to someone to have done tertiary back then.
Yeah.
So that you can imagine the disappointment of, we thought he was going to be the first one to be the beacon of the family.
Yeah.
But there was no pushback. Also, I didn't grow up with my mother. I was raised by my gran and my aunt.
Yeah.
So she wasn't kind of like there every day. So the decisions were made remotely.
Oh, okay.
And she'd be like, okay, cool, you know.
So what sort of support structure do you have around you at the moment? You know, because you... when I say support structure, I'm just talking about, you spoke earlier on about networking, because right now we've touched on family, but in terms of the people that you, I guess, friends, whether it's family, you've got business partners and the like, what types of people do you align yourself with? Because some people might understand what Kinzero's trying to do, and others might just be like, what is this?
Which is an ongoing thing. I mean, I've always been in partnerships. There's a point where I kind of stopped partnering because it was just too cumbersome and very like, it's kind of like you almost have to work on your partner more than the business or the partners, you know. So that can take time and mental strength, because people come from different backgrounds with different ideas, and sometimes ideas clash, or you start off, you know, on a good foot, and then people grow, either they outgrow certain things or they bring in other things that you didn't expect they have, qualities, strengths and weaknesses. Then you start then not seeing eye to eye. So a lot of the times it's always been close friends or associates. Like the guy I'm business partners with now was actually a former DJ himself and a legend who started like back in the days, the scene in Joburg hip hop. He was kind of the kingpin.
Yeah.
And I looked up to him, even though he was younger. I didn't DJ then, and I started DJing. He actually DJed at one of my very first parties and like gave us a good prize. And we were just industry colleagues for a long time and close allies. And, you know, we've done projects together. He's sent projects my side. You know, I've gone to him for help. And eventually we started this thing. So it's someone I've known for a long time. It wasn't something that came from nowhere. So those alliances are built through trust, people you know, people who have a track record, who have, you know, successful mentality, the way of thinking. So yeah, that's how I get around the partner thing.
And then the DJing itself, this will be the last question before we head on over to a break. The DJing itself, Have you had any formal training in it? I was telling DJ Kenzero off air that I actually listened to a mix of his that's on the official Serato YouTube page. Mm. For those that don't know Serato, it is a DJing software. And he, you know, got to, you know, do a mix at, they have a studio in LA.
In LA, yeah.
You know, so somewhere they recognize. So I'm wondering, like, where did that link come from? Was there ever like a formal training? How did you get together with them? How did they recognize you? Because that's actually quite something.
So it's funny that the DJing world is such an ungoverned world. Not a lot of people have certificates. And not a lot of people can say they're qualified DJs to put the, is it a prefix, the DR or the DJ or the DRO, you know. So not, you can today be DJs Mang Mang. No one can dispute that.
Yeah.
Which is a flaw in that, you know, entertainment world has it came with the entertainment world. So I taught myself. I kind of used to, like, you know, look at what people did, and I bought, in fact, I stayed strategically, hired a cottage strategically at a friend of mine's mom's house. He used to have equipment.
Yeah.
So we took some of his equipment into my cottage, and because I started working in retail just to kind of make ends meet.
Yeah.
So kind of like provide for myself, and I started teaching myself. So no one said, this is how you mix. So I basically, from looking, broke a lot of records. We used to use records back then. And I think that was another positive thing I did for myself, in that I realized sometimes when you have a teacher or mentor, some not necessarily mentor, teacher that you look up to, the rules that they put on you on how to attend to whatever subject you guys are working on, you tend to live around them.
Yeah.
So I had no one to tell me you can't mix hip-hop and kwaito. Like, no one told me you can't do that. So
yeah,
I was just doing that jazz, hip-hop. I was just mixing everything up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where my style came from. Because had I probably had a mentor, I probably would have been like, oh, no, you're not supposed to do 1, 2, 3. You're not supposed to do, you know. So those rules that were put, that can be cumbersome and put by your mentor or people who train you. So I train myself.
Okay. So you heard it. We are in studio with DJ Kenzero. He is our brand new heavy for the month of July 2018. Just telling us a little bit around his thoughts in business and his philosophy around DJing. As you heard, he wasn't formally trained. If he had, he wouldn't have such an eclectic sound, as you heard. So we're going to just take a quick break, and then on the other side of this, we're going to continue chatting with our brand new heavy. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
This is The Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. And remember that you can keep in touch with us on Twitter. We're at VAW FM. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then on Facebook, we are Vitz Radio Academy or VAW FM. That's Voice of Vitz. We are in studio with our brand new heavy DJ Kenzero. And just before the break, we were just getting to know a little bit about his business dealings and his philosophy around DJing. But right now, we just want to change gears a little bit, and we have some quick fire questions that we have for DJ Kenzero. So I'm just going to, it's an either or situation, and you just tell us the first that comes to your mind, and then after that we'll continue with our conversation. So, newest album that you've bought or downloaded?
The last one, The Internet?
Yeah,
it's the
Internet.
The
best,
The Internet, yeah.
Okay, favorite city for a weekend?
L.A.
LA. The one song on a DJ set you can always trust will get the crowd pumping.
Damn, there's so many. Depends if I'm at a hip hop club, a kwaito, or festival. I also play Latin music, so it depends.
Yeah.
I can't give one answer to that.
Okay, cool. I thought you were actually going to say Sister Bettina.
I haven't played that song. I don't own it.
Okay, cool. Headphones or surround sound?
Headphones.
A favorite restaurant right now?
Artivist.
Okay. Side hustles? Or, no. Do you believe in side hustles or one eggs in all in one basket?
The first one.
Eggs, okay, side hustles. Song you'd want to listen to right now at this moment?
I've got a Latin song in my head by João Donato called Emorio.
Okay. Cool. Place in Joburg right now. It can either be a night spot or restaurant that you think is underrated.
Artivist is not underrated. Untitled is not underrated. I'd say N Club.
Okay. Cool. What local artist would you love to have dinner with?
Most of them are my peers, so yeah. I never think of it like that.
Cool. Favorite hip hop magazine?
I haven't picked up one in a while. Is The Plug regarded as a hip hop magazine?
Whether it's online or.
Yeah, is The Plug?
Yeah.
There's a magazine called The Plug.
Okay.
I like that, yeah.
Cool. And then pet peeve?
Liars.
Vinyl or software?
Vinyl.
Radio or DJing?
I'm enjoying the radio thing now, so...
Yeah, that's where you're at.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you heard some very interesting answers right there. out of interest, why don't you own Sister Bettina?
It's probably the most played and bastardized song. So how do you separate yourself as a DJ from others if you're going to play the same thing that they play all the time?
Yeah.
And also depends on the type of audiences you play for. My audience will probably throw cans at me for playing Sister Bettina. I've only ever played it once in my life.
Yeah.
Since its existence.
Once.
At Afropunk when it closed off the year.
Okay, cool.
Because it was a big request. I also remember we had a lot of... travelers who were here, and people were told, like, if you don't hear Sister Bettina or Omunye, you haven't been in the South African experience. So I had to give that experience, and I'm not that selfish, so I was like, oh, okay, for all the people that came from the rest of Africa and the Americas and Europe who came for Afropunk, they needed to experience a Sister Bettina moment.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that made me play it.
Okay, cool. So switching over to the music itself, if someone listens to a Kenzero mix, you tend to... I was telling DJ Kenzero off-air that I listened to a few of his mixes, some from 6 years ago, some very recent, and what I can say... I noted were two things. One, there's consistency. Like his mixes, I could tell that they were done by the same DJ. Right, that's the first thing. And then second thing is they all had I don't want to say a mellow tone, but they were all songs from different genres.
Yeah.
Let's say a song by Mos Def, Brown Sugar, and then you'll have like a jazz song. And then you have, you know,
whoever, yeah.
Yeah. But somehow the songs are able to all just come together and fuse together to make the mix.
Quite perceptive. You're quite perceptive. It's a compliment to be told that there's consistency because you separate yourself, because next time you listen to another Kenzero mix, you have to go, oh, okay, this is that guy. So when you hear people who are biting, you're going to go, but this sounds like a Kenzero sound, because you have to create the sound. Hence, I won't play Sister Bettina because then I sound like anyone else.
Yeah.
So why are you hiring me if I sound like everyone else? So that's why you have to hire me, because you know what I bring on the table.
So because the question I was just going to ask is, do you have a definition of what the Kenzero sound is, or is it sort of a feeling that someone gets whilst they're listening to a set?
It's more of a feeling, and also I navigate the room. I also stretch people's minds while they're having fun, because I know sometimes having fun is, yes, about letting loose, but sometimes it's about, oh, what's that? I haven't heard that ever, and how did you make it work with whatever, you know, as opposed to you hear the same very songs that the 3, 4, 5 DJs that are coming one after the other play.
Yeah.
You got to go, oh, what's that song? I mean, and sometimes seeing people jam to a song you don't know, you're like, how do I not know the song? So I'm that guy, yeah.
And then last question on the music itself is, in terms of collecting, because you've been in the game, you said since 99, so you've sort of...
I collected before I started DJing.
So I can imagine that you've got music in different formats, of vinyls, cassette tapes, digital files,
yes,
CDs.
I do have.
What's your biggest... where's the biggest collection in terms of formats?
It's probably in vinyl and digital.
Vinyl and digital.
Yeah.
So you must have a room for your vinyls then.
Yeah, I got a wall that's kind of like... I still buy, so I'm still packing up the walls.
Okay, cool. And then second last question before we close off is just around, in terms of just keeping yourself motivated and, you know, continuous improvement, what are you reading at the moment?
I'm not reading a particular book, but I'm going through magazines. There's a magazine called Lux Notes, a lifestyle magazine done by two Caribbean Nigerian women, twins, well, one of the twins. And I bought a book by a chef, South African chef, who's now living in France, in Paris.
Yeah.
And he's all over Europe. What else am I going through? I picked up a book by a guy who used to... I think he's still part of the Hive. He wrote a book with excerpts of creatives that he's met along the way. So I'm not on a particular book right now. There's certain books that I've read halfway. I read a book that talks about the success of Real Madrid because it's my favorite team.
Yeah.
Halfway. My policy is every time I fly, I go to exclusive books. I've got books upon books I haven't even started.
Yeah.
But yesterday I was reminded by a conversation that I should go back to Robert Sharma's The Monk That Sold His Ferrari, because that's quite a great book.
Oh, that's actually a book that's on one of my reading, you know, those reading lists.
Amazing book. It's an incredible book.
Okay. So you heard it. The Monk That Sold His Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go, you know, go
Robert
pick that
Sharma,
one up.
Yeah.
Robert Sharma.
I've got a lot of... what's his name? Guy with the glasses, and I forget. He writes business and spiritual books as well. Sort of like I'll remember.
Yeah.
Of a.
Okay. Cool.
What's his name? I was just watching an interview with him, but I'm not on a particular book now. So the chef book I'm reading is because I've started a restaurant in Bromfontein off Reserve Street. Because I'm trying to learn more about this culinary and the South Africans that are spearheading this section. The Lux No, it's a art lifestyle magazine, and at Artivist we have food and art.
Yeah.
So we're a gallery. So I'm kind of doing research on food and culinary, if you may.
Okay. So our last question, which is the question that we pose to all our brand new heavies: what do you want your legacy to be?
I don't even know, man. I saw and heard a profound thing said by, was it Will Smith? I don't know if it's such a thing about me trying to leave a legacy behind, but it's more, they asked him a question, and it was a question based on music about what makes the best MC, and his answer segued into a very, very important statement by saying, for him, he's been everywhere, he's done everything, at the top of everything, of money, being broke. What basically will serve him as a human being to say, I'm happy to do, is him helping another person. Like, basically, helping the next person is the only thing that will make you feel fulfilled, other than having most money, most girls, most cars. Because after a while, those are material things that they can perish.
Yeah.
But when you know that you've lifted another human being, that should be kind of like the... So I'd rather want to live that than a legacy. Like, if I've touched as many people as I can, that will be a legacy of sorts, I suppose.
Mm. So you've heard it right there. That was us. We were talking to DJ Ken Zero, and some very interesting thoughts coming out. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening to The Business Buzz today. And thank you to our brand new heavy DJ Ken Zero for being in studio with us. Very interesting character, as I said at the beginning of the show. You heard that this is a man who has a lot of philosophies in place about how, and they help him guide and navigate his way through life. He's got a very signature sound. I should definitely say, if you've never heard one of his mixes, definitely go and either listen to him live or go online and listen to it. It's he brings together sounds that you wouldn't normally think of coming together. Mm-hmm. I heard a jazz tune with Jay-Z rapping over it. And I said to myself, okay. And because I know the Blueprint 2, I knew the song itself and the actual beat it was on. And actually hearing it on a jazz, I was like, okay, no. That's very interesting. Yeah. So thank you so much to him. The other big takeaway you heard is that, and for me, it was just the fact that he says that if no one is booking you, you should be making a plan to book yourself. And I think it speaks to the issue of agency, that sometimes we can't be making excuses that other people aren't willing to give us a shot or an opportunity. We should be also be willing to make opportunities for ourselves wherever we're able to do so. So thank you so much to DJ Ken Zero. In terms of social media and how people can actually get in touch with you or come and actually listen to one of your sets, how can they do that?
So I'm on KFM between 2 and 3 every Saturday.
Yeah.
That's how you can get a hold of my recent music, because I'm notorious for not posting music online.
Yeah.
I don't post my playlists. I want people to engage with the music and question me if they can, you know, send DMs. My handles are DJ Ken Zero. That's DJ KENZHERO. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. But my other handles would be Untitled, which is the basement cocktail bar that I co-own. Artivist JHB is the restaurant I co-own right here in Brom on Reserve Street off the Corte. And Eminem Marketing is another handle that I run with. Leanbusiness.com is another software business that I co-own the license of in Africa. Those are my addresses. There's more.
As you heard, the consummate businessman. Yeah. So you can keep in touch with us on social media. We are Vow FM, that's Voice of Vits, on Facebook. And you can also find our Facebook page, that's Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, that's at Vow FM. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then on WhatsApp, that's 0840784912. You can also stream the station live down vowfm.co.za. And podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of tonight's show. Thank you to our amazing team, our executive producer Elna Schutz, our producers Welcome Lishiva and Lengiwe Zondo, and then our technical production is done by Kutlwano Serame. Don't miss The Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Next up on Vow FM, make sure you don't turn that dial, because we have the team from Life Beats that are going to be taking you until about 8 p.m. For myself, Mudio Mob Justice Kavaza, is and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz. Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.